بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، كتب عليكم الصيام، إلى آخر الآية. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصيام جند، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء الكرام، برادر الإسلام، Allah Rabbul Izzat has once again blessed us with another Friday in the month of Ramadan, in the Mubarak month of Ramadan, in the blessed month of Ramadan. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajma'in understood value of Iman, comprehended the significance of Ramadan, and fully had the spirit of jihad and propagation of deen of Islam even in the month of Ramadan. That is why you will see that the Battle of Badr took place in the month of Ramadan. Concerning the month of Ramadan, there are various aspects one can dwell on and discuss and elaborate. For example, Ramadan is belief. Ramadan and politics, Ramadan and economics, Ramadan and social project, and Ramadan and tashabbuh, or imitation of the kuffar. Let alone those topics, this month of Ramadan has got so many aspects. For example, the first 10 days. Hadith states that it is the 10 days of mercy. The next 10 days, the 10 days of forgiveness, followed by the 10 days in which freedom from Jahannam takes place. Concerning Sehri, Iftari, Tarawi, concerning fasting itself, the various types of fasting, and you and I know that there are about 8 types of fasting, and the fast that is in Ramadan is obligatory. Ramadan comes from the word Rams, meaning to burn, to purify, to purge, to clean, to cleanse, to remove. In this month of Ramadan, a Muslim can clean his sins, he can burn his sins, he can cleanse himself, he can purify himself. Ahadith related concerning Ramadan that we are going to be forgiven all refer to minor sins. This we must remember, that whenever hadith is mentioned concerning forgiveness of sins in Ramadan, it refers to minor sins and not major ones. Usurping of property, stealing, looting, murdering, killing, deceiving, exploiting, taking someone's haq, usurping someone's money, all this falls under major sins. So those, for example, if someone has taken another person's money illegally, un-Islamically, wrongly, unjustly, then he must go to that person and return that wealth, then he will be forgiven. So in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us an opportunity that we can change, we can reform, and we can purge ourselves, clean ourselves. Provided we spend Ramadan and we fast how we're supposed to be fasting. The benefit of Salat will be reaped when Salat is made how Salat is supposed to be made. fast benefit will be achieved and attained when we fast how we're supposed to be fasting. Shah Waliullah Delhi Rahmatullah Alayh states that man has got two basic forces in him. Satanic forces and angelic forces. The forces of good and the forces of evil and bad. The forces that are driving him and motivating him and leading him towards good, and those forces that are lurking him and are steering him towards evil, falsehood, batil, kufr, shirk and bidah. And these two forces are present in every Muslim, fighting all the time, tussling all the time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes man has got three stages. The Muslim has got three stages. And you and I at some time or the other have passed through those stages or are passing through those stages. One is when those satanic forces overwhelm those angelic qualities, those satanic forces pushes the man to do evil. And a person will do evil even in the month of Ramadan, because the hadith states that in the month of Ramadan the rebellious shayateen and jinnat are chained up. So that is why you see a habitual sinner, even in the month of Ramadan, he still sins. Why? Because the rebellious shaitan and the rebellious jinnat are chained up, not all the jinnat, according to some scholars. So a person, when this satanic forces gets hold of him, then he begins to behave like an animal. Allah Ta'ala says, as at times worse than an animal. He will steal, he will loot, he will do backdoor things, he will drink alcohol, and he will behave not like a Muslim. But at the end of the day, he will shout a slogan, a lip service slogan, that he is for Islam, he is pro-Islam, and he is promoting Islam, he is Ashika Rasul, but he will be involved and engrossed, steeped in kufr and shirk and bidat and customs and rituals, and lavishly spending his money in the wrong way. And this month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the opportunity to spend our wealth, which we have earned by sweat, in the right direction, for good causes. And remember, every good cause you should aid, every evil cause you should shun, you should leave. You should not support any evil cause morally, spiritually, financially, physically, with your presence even. Inshallah, tonight, after Taraweeh tomorrow night, inshallah there will be a collection for the renovation taking place in the other masjid. Inshallah, you should contribute generously. And remember that you should come with the money and there will be a general collection and you should contribute generously. Shah Sahib says another quality of the future man, as corroborated by the Quran al-Kareem, that the satanic forces and the angelic forces, they are on par, they're parallel, they're equal. That is why you find the person sometimes in spasmodic periods you'll see he's a good Muslim. He comes for 5 times daily salah. And after that you don't see him. Suddenly he adorns a beard, he grows a beard, he puts on a kurta, then he starts looking like a Muslim, he starts behaving like a Muslim. All of a sudden he strikes the beard off, he slaughters the wajibat, he massacres the sunnah, and then he sits down fighting. Like a person, yeah, in South Africa you'll say, why must I wear a kurta, why must I adorn a beard, why must I behave and conform to Sharia of Islam, why must I behave like a good Muslim? But when he goes for Hajj, he will keep a beard, he will put a kurta on, and all that he will do. But when he comes back, as soon as he lands, he will shave off his beard, and he will take off his kurta and leave it and brand those people who adorn beards and kurtas as fanatics. Then there is another good quality, a good stage, that when man's angelic qualities supersede his satanic qualities, and he is able now to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's able to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's able to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his dua has power, his salat has power, his fasting has power, his movement has power, his words have power, his words have sincerity, everything that he does, he has got some zoom, he's got some oomph in it. Shah Sahib, Waliullah Rahmatullah alayhi says that in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricts us from eating and drinking and satisfying the passions, and this gives the angelic qualities a hand over the satanic forces. By a person not feeding himself, by a person not drinking, by a person not satisfying his passions, not satisfying his lust, then he is given a superiority over his battle forces in him. That is why you will find that alhamdulillah in Ramadan, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the Muslim, that he will go for salat, that he will behave well, that he will not shout, he will not quarrel, he will not destroy his fast. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that salat is a shield. As long as you do not tear it off, or as long as you do not break it. Sahaba inquired, how do you break it? How do you tear the shield off? Said that when you engage in fighting, quarreling, squealing, swearing, backbiting, slandering, all these things are detrimental to the fast. When it is detrimental to the fast, then you will have no spiritual benefit. That is why come after Ramadan, you back to square one, a bad Muslim, a non-practical Muslim. Allah Rabbul Izzat has blessed us that we fast for 29 or 30 days, and then the Shawwal fast coming. It is reported that if a person does an action, mafhum of a hadith, if a person does an action for 40 days continuously, that action becomes his habit, that action becomes his second nature. Hadith mafhum, that the genesis thought of man evolves within 40 days. That if you want to teach someone, you can teach him within 40 days something. If you are to train someone, within 40 days you can train someone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us 29 to 30 days, and we take full advantage of this. Coming for salat, making other salat, making tarawih salat, making extra salat. But no sooner that Ramzan comes over, Eid salat is finished, then you bid farewell to the masjid and you back to square one. It is for us to take a lesson that we can, if we can just maintain this, 29 days or 30 days, with another 10 days, be steadfast in our salat. We are taking out time for our Isha. We are taking out time for our Zohar and Asr and Maghrib. If we can do this for another 10 days, then inshallah that action will become a habit in us. That action will become part and parcel of us. That action, which we make in Fajr with Jamaat, then inshallah we'll be able to do it after Ramadan even. It is in our court. We should be courageous and we should fight shaitan. We should fight the devil who is leading us towards Jahannam, and we should become better Muslims. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah alayhi states that there are three types of fasters, three types of people who fast. One is that person who only keeps himself hungry, thirsty, and abstains from sexual desires. That's all. Otherwise, he does everything else. He will swear, he does not read the mass, he will do evil things, but he would not legally and technically break his fast. But he will be hungry, he will be thirsty, and he will stay away from sex. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated concerning this type of a faster, that there are many who fast, but the only thing they do is to keep themselves hungry. Then there is a second stage, going upwards. Hujjatul Islam says that is a person who abstains from drinking and eating and sexual desires, and he also controls his eyesight, his hearing, his speech, his private part, and his movement, his hands and his legs. He brings all those into conformity to Sharia. Remember, there is fasting of the stomach, fasting from abstaining from sexual desires, but there is fasting of the eyes, fasting of the ears, fasting of the tongue. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith, the proof is that shall I show you something that causes maximum of trouble, maximum problem, that it puts people into great difficulties and fitnas, fasad. Sahaba said, yes, sure. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extended his tongue and held it and said, this causes trouble and problems. By just moving it, by just talking in the wrong direction, problems, difficulties, fighting and thoroughly takes place. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi states, so turning that past which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves, and we should now sincerely take stock of ourselves, in which category do we fall? Eating is not an achievement. Staying away from food, that's an achievement. Once a person came to debate with Mawlana Qasim Nanoti rahmatullah alayhi, and he was not a Muslim. And before the debate, they laid out the conditions of debate, on which point the debate should take place. So externally, Mawlana Qasim Nanoti rahmatullah alayhi was fragile and thin. And the opposition party, the one who was going to debate, that fellow, he was like a double-decker. And he put one clause, one condition, that we should have a debate or we should have a competition on eating. Mawlana Qasim Nanoti rahmatullah alayhi decided, how can this take place? So that fellow is like a double-decker, he'll eat more, and I cannot eat. So Mawlana Qasim Nanoti at that stage explained one point, that achievement is not in eating, achievement of man is not in eating. And then he stated, that let us do this, that lock us up in a room, in two separate rooms or one room, and starve us for 40 days and see who walks out alive. You or I. So, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us that we eat a certain part of this 24 hours and we do not eat a certain part of the 24 hours. One point here, in fact, I can mention that fasting like this is permissible, how we are doing it. But fasting continually without breaking your fast, for example, hunger strike is not permissible in Islam. Why? Because you are going to hurt your body, you are going to injure your body, you are going to put your body into unnecessary, undue difficulty. Anything that you do against your body is a trust which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You cannot abuse this trust. Therefore, this hunger strike, even if it be for political motivation, is not permissible. It may have been prevalent in other Shariat, but in our Shariat, anything done against your own body won't be permissible to harm your own body. That is why this ratib that goes on in certain areas, that also is not permissible. As in the same light, we can judge the poverty festivals those Hindus have, that also cannot be permissible, get into a trance and walk on fire, or get into a trance and put swords in the body. All those things are not Islamic. Those things are linked to some other sources. So Hujjatul Islam says that the degree which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes is when a person abstains from drinking, eating, or sexual desire. Why? Because Sawm in Ramzan means to abstain, to refrain, to stay away from. So that is why there is, you should stay away with your eyes, with your body, with your mind. And Shaykh Ghazali rahmatullah says that the highest form of fasting is that when a person begins to think about Allah Ta'ala, his heart begins to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starves himself, he refrains from drinking and eating and sexual desires, but his body, his mind, his heart is concentrating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. There's one point I would like to mention here, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that eat sari, there is barakat in sari. Eat sari, there is barakat in sari. Another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that take sari, because this is contrary to the foreigners, or this is contrary to the Jews and the Christians, because they do not take sari. When they fast, they do not take sari. Considering this hadith, and like these types of hadiths which you find in Ramadan, then there is a whole bayan can be given that our system of life is contrary to the kuffar. Our way of life is contrary to the mushriks. Our thinking is contrary to the kuffars and mushrik. Our whole system is different, and we should at this stage realize this. That our concepts are different, our values are different, our systems are different, our style is different. Up to now in South Africa, we Muslims have not realized this. That is why our homes, our businesses, everything are fashioned and designed on the kuffar line. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in one hadith that when this month comes, a person should be steadfast in ibadah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated one hadith, very interesting one, that on the day of Qiyamah, a table cloth will be laid, and people will be eating and drinking, and there will be others watching. So those who are watching will say that how come they are eating, how come they are drinking? And for us, our hisab kitab, our accountability has not started. Our accountability has not even started. How those people are eating and drinking? Then the answer will come that those who are eating and drinking, their accountability is over. And they are eating and drinking because they fasted in the month of Ramadan. Because they fasted in the month of Ramadan. And your accountability has not started. And you are not eating, you are not drinking because you are not fasting in the month of Ramadan. How strong and how severe it is. See a person, a Muslim, that whole 11 months, Ramadan is our 9th month. You'll see him other months, he'll be running hither and thither, he'll be running from here and there, he'll be fit as a fiddle. But no sooner Ramadan comes, his ulcers become peptic, his headaches become migraine, and those stones inside his body become rocks that he can't fast. All this happens when Ramadan starts. Just before the moon is sighted, when all this starts. Why is it? He comes to the Maulana and Mufti Sahib, this is paining and that is paining, how you make qaza and what you do with kafara. That's the only time he comes to know that we can have some flexibility. What's the flexibility? Must I leave the fast or do the fast? Only this happens in Ramadan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith that a person who's fasting, look at the amount of sawab. A person who's fasting, that if he sleeps, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thalvi rahmatullah alayhi has written this in the best is ever, these hadiths, that if a person sleeps, he gets the sawab of making ibadah. So if you cannot make Qur'an tilawat, then if you cannot do anything, don't stand around and make gunshot, don't gossip and slander, go and sleep away, you'll get sawab of ibadah. And if a person remains silent in the month of Ramadan, a person remains silent, then he gets the sawab of making tasbih. For example, a person makes subhanallah, how much sawab he gets? So a person who remains silent, he will get the same sawab. And the hadith says, if a person does good action, if a person does good action, then his sawab is increased much. One hadith it is stated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that a person can get up to 700 times sawab for one good action. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. That has granted us the ability to be alive and to accumulate sawab, to earn some sawab. So whatever we can do in this month, we should try to do, be steadfast in our tarawih, and do not become like those that when the first few days of tarawih come, that the masjids are full. Then the person, I don't know what happens to him, shaitanic forces get into him and he starts staying at home. Then Shab-e Qadr comes, and very interesting hadith about Shab-e Qadr, I'll narrate it. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says in Ghuriya about this. He says there are two Eids which the Muslims have, Eidul Adha and Eidul Fitr. And the Malaika have two Eids also. And their two Eid is Shab-e Qadr and Shab-e Barat. And the Malaika's Eid is in the night. Our Eid is in the day. And the Malaika's Eid is in the night. Why? Because the Malaika do not sleep. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating a rule here for us. That in the month of Ramadan, we are requested and we are commanded that we must make no salah, tarawih, 20 no rakats. Come Eid day, a joyous day, a day of happiness, we are not stated that we must listen to music which is haram, or do anything which is haram, or go have Eid balls, or go and look at film, or now whatever you missed now over the filthy television which is ringing us, and you have taped it now, and now you have taped it, so after Ramadan you would go view it now, and miss up all your serials, and those filthy programs we teach, wife shopping and all those things, and we just become the order of the day amongst Muslims, then you would view it in Eid, on Eid day, and have a special show. This Islam is not teaching us. But Islam is teaching us that on Eid day, you must make two rakats of extra salah.